In a world where magic flows through royal bloodlines, King Midas rules the Sixth Kingdom with a touch that transforms everything to gold. But his most prized possession isn't the gleaming castle that crowns the snowy mountain of Hybel. It's Orin, a woman whose skin shimmers with metallic gold, kept in a luxurious cage atop the highest tower. For 10 years, she has been his favored saddle, this world's term for a royal concubine. Though unlike the others who serve his physical desires, Orin remains separate, protected, and perpetually confined. Her body is entirely gold except for her teeth, the whites of her eyes, and her tongue. Most striking are the 24 golden ribbons growing from her spine, prehensile extensions she can control like additional limbs, a secret weapon few know she possesses. What does it mean to be treasured but never truly free? Orin wrestles with this question daily, testing the bars of her cage while simultaneously defending her captivity. "He keeps me separate because I'm precious," she tells herself, clinging to the narrative that has sustained her since Midas rescued her from child traffickers a decade ago. But beneath her gratitude lies a growing restlessness, a yearning for something beyond the golden walls that both protect and imprison her. King Midas presents a study in duality, outwardly benevolent yet ultimately controlling. He encountered Arin during her vulnerable adolescence, establishing a profound psychological bond through an act of rescue. Their relationship, spanning 10 years before his ascension to the throne, evolved beyond conventional authority structures. He maintains exclusive influence over her, citing protective motivations. This preferential treatment conceals subtle methods of psychological influence. Midas employs inconsistent behavioral patterns, alternating between nurturing and distant approaches, fostering an emotional dependence. When his authority faces questioning, he references her difficult past circumstances as leverage. "Consider your situation before our paths crossed." His true motivations become apparent during negotiations with King Folk. When Folk expresses diplomatic interest in Arin, Midas' initial protective response gives way to pragmatic calculation. He ultimately views her position as a diplomatic resource, willing to arrange temporary arrangements in exchange for military allegiances, revealing that his proclaimed protection serves strategic purposes rather than genuine care. Note: the rewrite maintains the core narrative and psychological insights while using more clinical language and focusing on the power dynamics and relationship psychology rather than explicit details. Orin's journey outside Hybel Castle reveals striking disparities. While the castle gleams with gold, beyond its walls lies a different reality. The pristine streets near the castle gradually deteriorate into the shanties, where buildings crumble and children starve despite their king's unlimited wealth. This revelation challenges Orin's worldview. "How can there be such poverty when he can create gold with a touch?" she wonders, questioning Midas's rule for the first time. Her spontaneous gift of gold coins to starving children demonstrates her emerging moral independence. Oria's political landscape is equally complex. Despite a peace pact between the six kingdoms, Midas and Folk plot to attack the fourth kingdom, ruled by King Ravenger, known as King Rot for his decay powers, targeting the valuable Black Root mines. The world's magic originates from the lost seventh kingdom and its connection to Anwen, the Fey realm. Magic has been fading since Lemuria, the bridge between these worlds, was severed 300 years ago. After 10 years confined in Hybel Castle, Arin's journey to Fifth Kingdom awakens her to freedom's possibilities. Simple pleasures, fresh air, snow, horseback riding, become profound discoveries after years of confinement. Her friendship with Sale, a kind-hearted guard, proves especially meaningful. Their natural conversations about families and dreams contrast with her interactions with Midas, which always carry power imbalances. When Sale simply asks her favorite color, Arin is stunned. No one has ever cared about her preferences before. The journey's physical challenges build Arin's confidence. Relearning to ride, enduring harsh weather, and navigating tensions with resentful saddles all prove she can survive beyond her cage. Meanwhile, political schemes unfold around her. What appeared to be a straightforward arrangement between Midas and Fulk reveals itself as an elaborate trap. Midas never intended to honor his agreement, instead manipulating Fulk into committing his army to a doomed attack, decimating his forces while positioning himself to potentially claim Fifth Kingdom's throne. The Red Raid's pirates ambush during a snowstorm, ending Arryn's brief freedom. Captain Fane and his crew kill many guards and capture the saddles, targeting Arryn as Midas's gilded pet. The turning point occurs when Sale, a young guard protecting Arryn from Fane, is murdered. His death transforms Arryn's grief to rage, especially when pirates mockingly tie his body to their ship's bow, cruelly joking that they finally have a sail. Despite the danger, Arryn uses her hidden ribbon powers to retrieve Sale's body and lay him respectfully in the snow, a defiant act against their cruelty. When Captain Fane assaults Rissa before turning on Arryn, she's cornered in his quarters. In desperation, Arryn touches his neck with her bare palm, revealing her most shocking ability. She can transform living beings into solid gold, just like Midas himself. The transformation instantly freezes Fane as a golden statue, his face locked in eternal horror. Commander Rip's introduction reveals a shocking truth. He's a full-blooded Fae, believed extinct in Oria. His black eyes, subtle scales along his cheekbones, tiny spikes above his eyebrows, pointed ears, and larger spikes down his spine and forearms mark him as extraordinary. When capturing Orin, the commander shows unsettling recognition of her nature. "Funny, I was about to say the same thing to you," he replies when she identifies him as Fae, suggesting he perceives something in her that others haven't. This Fae connection enriches the world-building and raises questions about Orin's unique abilities. Her power to transform living beings into gold suggests origins more complex than merely being touched by Midas. Did she have this ability before meeting him? If so, why remain his captive for 10 years? If the power developed after, what connects her abilities to his? As Guild concludes, Orin finds herself in Commander Rip's custody, separated from both her golden cage and her complicated protector, while King Midas vows to destroy anyone keeping him from his property. Orin's evolution from passive captive to active agent forms the emotional core of the story. Initially, she views her cage as protection, her identity defined solely through Midas. She exists as his favored, valuable only through his perception. By the conclusion, though not fully liberated from her psychological bonds to Midas, she begins recognizing her own agency. Her final reflection captures this awakening. "If I survive this, I won't allow myself to be weak and stagnant anymore. I've become like Coin, that golden bird forever resting on his roost. I clipped my own wings and stayed listless on my perch." The concluding Golden Goldvine poem serves as an allegory for her relationship with Midas. A miser discovers a vine that will only flourish when fed pieces of himself, representing the consuming nature of possession. What price do we pay for safety when it costs our freedom? These questions linger as Orin stands at the threshold of potentially stepping outside her golden cage.